Episode of That 70s Show has started on the Laugh Channel. It's the one where Donna is drunk in the middle of the day hanging out with her new boyfriend, Casey Kelso, as Eric comments, just like Sue Ellen on Dallas. During the 2020 offseason, Vegas agreed to a deal that would have sent Marc-Andre Fleury back to Pittsburgh. The GMs of both teams agreed. The Pittsburgh GM then was Jim Rutherford, but the Vegas owner pulled the plug. Bill Foley. Bill Foley got into his feels and vetoed the deal because Fleury was an OG Golden Knight and meant so much to the franchise and the community and was so popular, and he's pretty good too. Yet, somehow, all that loyalty and sentiment evaporated in a year. And instead of Fleury being traded to Pittsburgh, which he would have liked, Vegas traded Fleury to some place he doesn't necessarily want to go. And Bill Foley didn't even have the guts to call Marc-Andre Fleury to tell him. Flower found out on Twitter. Hey, Bill Foley, don't do Marc-Andre any more favors, okay? And guess what?
You just made the list!
Like I've been saying, the coach beat the owner in Vegas. Peter DeBoer wanted Fleury out more than Foley wanted to keep him. The Vegas fans will not like this. They've only had a team for 4 years. Fleury departing is the first real exposure to hockey being a business as far as the Vegas fans are concerned. Ron Hextall spoke a little bit ago. Here's what he said about Cody Ceci signing a four-year deal. I thought it was worth $3 million a year. It's worth $3.25 million on average annual value. Quote, we wanted to re-sign Cody, but you probably saw the numbers and there was no real way for us to make that fit, unquote. What Hextall really means, loosely translated, is I'm not insane. I haven't lost my mind. I wasn't going to sign that guy to that contract. I wouldn't sign that guy to half that contract. I wouldn't sign that guy to half that contract if my children were held hostage and they had a gun in my mouth. That's what Hextall was really saying. And that's no knock on Cody Ceci. You know, he had a good year here. But really, he's not a guy you ever would have thought could make that kind of money. He was here for chump change on a one-year deal last year. He's had a mediocre career. He had one good year, and now he gets that. And who's to say he'll have that good of a year or play that well ever again in Edmonton? Although, like I said, a lot of this is trying to make Connor McDavid feel like they can win, which now that he'll be skating with Cody Ceci, he has to feel super good about what's going to happen moving forward. Pirates against Milwaukee tonight at PNC Park. I'm going tomorrow night. Listen to these tickets. Cambria Club. I usually sit on the inside. They have three rows. One's inside. And the inside one's like a bar stool with a counter. But the first two rows have like those like kind of desktop, the pull-out counters. I'm in the first row. Now, if the sun's if the sun is shining on me, which I hate, I'll go sit, you know, in the back row. I'm sure it won't be full until the sun, you know, goes down a little bit. But I'm looking forward because I really do like seeing baseball live. I've explained that many times. I keep a scorecard because a scorecard makes you pay attention. I've kept a scorecard at every baseball game I've ever seen live, and that's the truth. And that dates back to 1971. Well, I started going regularly in 1970 with my mom, but in 1971 when they won the World Championship, we went to 41 games, including the first night game in World Series history, which the Pirates won. I still have the ticket stubs for all those games, and I have some of the scorecards, but I kept the scorecard every game. So people who say, I don't know baseball, I know baseball really well, and I know that what's at PNC Park under Nutting's ownership isn't worth going to very often. But I know baseball, I love baseball, and I'm looking forward to going, not least to, like, you know, eat great food and booze, but to watch the game too. So if you see me at the Ball Yard tomorrow night, do not say anything, leave me alone. I have all these appearances coming up. You want to talk to me? Come to one of my appearances. I'm at the River Hans game on Saturday, 6:15 till 7 in the pub at Highmark Stadium doing a Q&A. I am at Dom's Pizzeria in Trafford for the opening day of the English Premier League season on August 14th. So I got a lot of stuff coming up. Let's go to, I don't know this guy's name, Pittsburgh Sports what? Pittsburgh Sports Guy, get a shorter name, but you're on 105.9.
Pittsburgh Sports Guy, Mark, thanks for taking my call. First off, I want to give you some advice for the Brew Crew. Take a minus 2.5. It's not going to be a game, but I hope you enjoy your time at the Pirates game.
I'm sure I will.
Next thing I wanted to talk about, Mark, I was going to talk about Juju, but I wanted to know your opinion about what happened with Simone Biles. I just am really confused by it and kind of saddened with the future of this country. I think we're getting to the point where one day there will be our kids and the young kids at the end, in the next generation, who are going to take the shot with 10 seconds left at the end of a big basketball game, and they have a panic attack so they don't end up taking the shot.
I'm not gonna dispute her wanting to take care of her mental health. I'm not going to dispute her pulling out. She had every right to do that. But like the former wrestler Disco Inferno said, you know, that's people with that kind of attitude don't win. And she certainly won a lot in the past. So, you know, there's no denying her accomplishments. But I don't think she should be a bigger hero because she quit. And that's what she's become, a bigger hero. She had the courage to quit. It doesn't take courage to quit. I'm sorry. It just doesn't.
Yeah, Mark, I don't.
Okay, your phone sucks, and to be honest, you're doing that kind of put-on sports talk caller voice that really is beginning to irritate the frig out of me. Ian Cole signed somewhere today, too. Penguins probably should have brought him back. I don't think Nick Bonino signed anywhere yet. Bring back all the ex-Penguins. Ian Cole went to San Jose, it says here. Oh, no, Bonino went to San Jose. Okay, well. They should have bring those guys back. They never should have got rid of them in the first place. They would have won every single Stanley Cup in that time. The contracts that make me nuts. Okay, there were some huge contracts. Colorado kept Landeskog. I totally get it. He's a legitimate first-line player. 8 years, 56 mil. But he's good. Seth Jones, Chicago traded for him. 8 years, 76 mil. And that's a lot. But I think Seth Jones is one of the best defensemen in the NHL. The ones I don't get are like Zach Hyman, 7 years, almost 39 mil. Doug Hamilton, who was bounced from team to team like a $2 hooker. From the Bruins to Calgary to Carolina, now New Jersey. 7 years, 60 mil. For that guy? Wow. But the guy I got to respect, even though the contract's ridiculous, and a man in my position cannot afford to be made to look ridiculous. Godfather reference. My references are out of control, bro. And that is a this is the end reference, Jonah Hill. Ryan Suter got bought out by Minnesota. The Wild it paid Ryan Suter to not play hockey for them anymore. And he got a huge deal from Dallas. 4 years, over 14 mil. It ain't as huge as the last deal with Minnesota, but when you take his buyout into account and now this new deal, he's making more money than he would have just staying in Minnesota. Crazy. Crazy stuff. And we went over all the goalie signings. Why did the bottom drop out of the Braden Holtby market? He won the cup in Washington in 2018, went to Vancouver, didn't play great there, but now he signed with Dallas 1 year, $2 million. And how can the Penguins not sign him for that? How can Braden Holtby not be better than Tristan Jarry? 412-333-WXDX. I think Jari's the goalie. The more and more I say this stuff out loud, I just think Jari's the goalie. 105.9X.
And now the super genius, Mark Madden.
Hey, Mark, second time caller. Love the show.
I'd like to talk to Mark about Marc-Andre Fleury. Pay attention, dumb skull, and talk.
The X at 105.9.
Rock and roll. Dusty Hill, bass player for ZZ Top, passed away today at 72. It kind of came out of nowhere. They canceled a concert just the other day because Dusty wasn't feeling well, and now he's passed. So RIP to Dusty Hill. I'm sure Billy Gibbons and Frank Beard will play in some incarnation, but as the catchphrase always went, same three guys, same three chords. And now it can't be the same three guys ever again, and that makes me very sad. I'm a big fan of ZZ Top. 412-333-WXDX, okay. Casey Kelso has just dumped Donna. Donna wants to get back with Eric, but Eric's about to turn her down, causing Donna to run away to California with Kelso, where Kelso, they don't run away as, you know, hooking up, but they go to California to run away from home because Jackie's trying to pressure Kelso into getting married already. And, of course, Kelso goes to California. And who does he meet on the beach of California? It's Jessica Simpson, who is a virgin and won't have sex. So hilarity does ensue. And, again, the fact that that 70s show is now on from 5 till 6 every day on the Laugh Channel, Eric's about to tell her, I can't be your second choice. I can't be the guy you run to after Casey dumps you. Well, enough about that 70s show. I'll continue to watch it while barely paying attention to what I'm doing on the air. So let's go to Jake on the South Side. Jake, you're on with Double M.
Hey there, Mr. Madden. Just wanted to call in. I saw the other day that the Pirates were able to sign a bunch of their early round draft picks, and a lot of people were getting
it's very exciting.
It is exciting, and I want to be excited about it.
Yeah, okay.
I'm 30 years old. I've seen one Pirates winning season. And I want to believe that it's going to turn out okay, but I remember all those years ago when Josh Bell was signed and it was a big deal, but he ended up getting, you know, dealt with and everything like that too. So I'm just curious, do you believe in Ben Cherington as much as you?
I think Ben Cherington's a good MLB GM. I think under the financial constraints of Bob Nutting, it doesn't matter how much he knows about baseball. He could be, you know, Joe L. Brown, who built the Pirate mini dynasty in the 70s. He could be Theo Epstein. You know, it just ain't going to work under an owner who's that much of a skinflint. And you're 30. I mean, you haven't been around forever, but surely you must see what I'm talking about.
Of course, yeah. And like I said, I want the Pirates to be good so badly. I want them to be competitive. It's so much better whenever they're a good team. Like I said, I only have 1 year knowing that really back in 2013.
See, we have different priorities. I just want them to have that really good brown grainy mustard in the Cambria Club tomorrow night when I get my hot dog. That is my goal,
man,
for the Pirates. And might I say, Jake, that my goal seems much more reasonable and attainable.
Yeah, I might have to agree with you on that one, Mr. Madden. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Thank you, Jake. You're a nice guy and don't know what you're getting into. And I got to tell you, it is great to be rich and go to a Pirate game. It just is. Just great to be rich and go to a Pirate game. Because then the winning and losing, I mean, that stuff about a fun night out at the ballpark, for me, it really is. You're sitting there amongst each other, the great unwashed, paying overpriced, you know, everything costs, like a beer's $14, right? I get all the beer I want. No, I actually have to pay for beer up there. But who cares? I'm rich. I can afford it. The hot dogs with the grainy mustard, they have prime ribs sometimes. They have, oh, it's so good. It's so good, and you can't do that. And if you can do that, you see me there, leave me alone. 412-333-WXDX. Going to have a bunch of great hockey talk just around the corner. Okay, Jackie's pretty much running Kelso out of town now. Just think about it. We're going to be the Burkhart Kelsos. Kelso responds. The Who Heart Wattos. So it's just great TV. And now Hyde and Fez are putting rotting fish in Kelso's hubcaps. So the stink just follows him around all the way to California, might I add. So anyway, Dan Rosen's going to join me for some great hockey talk in just a second. Apparently you're happy with Jari being the goalie, and that's okay too. Aaron Rodgers lost. We've talked about that. I think it's been a great show. And Dan Rosen will make it greater in just a second with more hockey talk here on the X.
And now the super genius, Mark Madden.
What do you think about the new... I can't remember what I called, sorry.
Really?
Awesome call!
The X at 105.9.
Free agency started today in the NHL. High noon, and we've had a bunch of stuff happen since then. Joining me to discuss, the senior writer for NHL.com, he is Dan Rosen. Dan, the goalies really flew off the shelf, and none flew to Pittsburgh. Do you think Hextall is comfortable with Tristan Jarry even after what happened in the playoffs?
It certainly, how you doing, Mark? It certainly would seem that way, right? I mean, at this point, certainly it seems that way. And I don't want to overreact. And I'm sure that Ron Hextall doesn't want to overreact either to what happened in the playoffs. It was one playoff, and I don't think you can overreact in that sense for a guy who's what? I mean, Jerry's 26 years old. He's signed for two more years at $3.5 million. He did not have a good playoff, but he had a pretty good regular season. And it was really his first foray into the Stanley Cup playoffs, except for the one game that he played in 2020. I got to think that they're comfortable with it. You know, what I was saying in the past about this was, you're going to change your top goalie out. It's got to be better than what you have already. And other than Philip Grubauer and Marc-Andre Fleury, there was nobody out there that I thought would absolutely be 100% slam dunk better than Tristan Jarry. Now, could you have signed Philip Grubauer? I don't know. I mean, I would have liked to know what the market is, how deep they went into a market there. Did they go from Colorado? I'm talking about Grubauer's camp. Did they go from Colorado to Seattle and that was it? And is Fleury still an option for them? I wasn't on Ron Hextall's call with the media, so I'm not 100% sure what he did say. I know he talked about that a little bit, but could Fleury still be an option for them if he doesn't want to report to Chicago? Certainly it could be, you know, and you take one more run with Fleury and Crosby and you see where you go with the 1 year left on his deal. But for now, unless you were getting one of those two guys at this juncture, I don't think you have anything better out there than what Tristan Jarry is right now.
Well, let's talk about what happened with Marc-Andre Fleury in Vegas. It seems like DeBauer made the call, the coach, because he wanted to lean toward Lehner. But, boy, how often do you see the reigning Vezina winner just given away?
Yeah, and given away is 100% right. That's the craziest thing about that. Is given away. You don't. And he's only got 1 year left on his deal. And it's $7 million, I know, but it's only 1 year left on his deal. And he's worth $7 million if he just won the Vezina Trophy. There's no question about that. If I were Vegas, I would have tried to move Robin Lehner. And it's not anything, no disrespect at all to Robin Lehner. That's just that I think Fleury's better, you know. And I would have maybe tried to sign Fleury to a 1 year extension or something like that. Get two more years out of him because he still has game, clearly. And gone with it in that direction. But clearly Pete DeBoer, and we saw it as soon as he arrived really in Vegas, that he favored Robin Lehner. And Robin Lehner's a good goalie. But the interesting thing about it is Fleury doesn't want to go to Chicago. I mean, they talk about they got themselves a new number one goalie, but we don't know that he's going to end up there. And if he doesn't end up there, what Chicago basically did was help out another Western Conference team by taking the cap. You know, by opening, you know, they're taking the cap and opening up their cap. And they were able to, we saw it today, they signed Alec Martinez. They signed Evgeny Dadonov. They re-signed Matthias Janmark. So they filled out some areas where they felt they needed, assistance there with the cap space that Fleury was taking up. So that's kind of interesting. I think Fleury could still be on the move. I don't think he's done. I think he would hesitate to retire. Unless he wants to just go practice and then play for Canada in the Olympics, if that were to happen.
Well, yeah, he's not the kind of guy that would no-show Chicago or even threaten, so I reckon he's going to go there, and I reckon he'll do pretty good. If he comes back to Pittsburgh, it might be as a free agent for the next season. But let's go to Grubauer now. Did him signing with Seattle surprise you? It surprised me that Colorado let him get away.
It surprised me. It surprised me that Colorado let him get away at that price. 6 years, $5.9 million per is certainly worth good value, I think, for Philip Grubauer. He's a good goaltender. He was in the Vezina Trophy. He was among the Vezina Trophy finalists this year. He was tied to that team. He was building with that team in Colorado. And Joe Sakic, who I'm not going to question, Joe Sakic is one of those GMs that if I was another GM and he called me, I'm not picking up the phone because he's going to fleece me. He's that kind of GM right now. But he said that they didn't think they could meet that number, which is interesting to me, because he's a quality goaltender and it's not a high number. It's not like you're going 7, 8, 9 million for that number. It's 5.9. I think it's very reasonable. They do have MacKinnon eventually. I think it might have been more the years rather than the dollar amount, because MacKinnon's probably going to double from his 6.3 cap hit in 2 years, and they just signed Landeskog and they got Makar. So I don't think they want to go. They may not have wanted to go long term on a goaltender, which now opens it up. Darcy Kemper's on a 1 year, 1 year left in his deal. I think it's 4.5. Fleury, of course, 1 year left. That's 7. That's more than Grubauer's making. There's a couple of options there that they're going to look at, but they need goaltending. And it did surprise me because I thought Colorado would re-sign both him and Landeskog, but also, now, with him going to Seattle, that opens the door for Vitek Vanacek, probably, or Chris Driedger, to be moved out of Seattle to a team that needs goaltending. And we see now the Boston Bruins are likely signing Linus Ullmark. That leaves Colorado as a team that really needs goaltending.
Yeah, and where does that leave Tuukka Rask in Boston? Because he's a free agent. They gave Linus Ullmark, if indeed that's confirmed, in a pretty good ticket, 4 years, average of $5 million. What's going on with the Bruins goaltending?
Well, Tuukka Rask had hip surgery, and he wouldn't be ready to go until February at the earliest, probably.
And they like that young goalie, too, whose name slips my mind.
They like Swayman. Jeremy Swayman.
Right, Jeremy Swayman.
A lot. He's got 10 games of NHL experience, so there was no chance that they were going to go into the season with Jeremy Swayman as their number one. And they don't think that Tuukka Rask's days of being the long-term number one for the Boston Bruins are over. So what you do is you go out and sign Linus Ullmark, who you believe is the number one. And to be honest, look, the numbers that he has with the Buffalo Sabres are pretty darn good numbers for a team. You know, I mean, like, Linus Ullmark had a 917 save percentage last season in 20 games. The Buffalo Sabres were bad. 917 is pretty good. He is 915 in 34 games with the Sabres 2 years ago, and they were pretty bad, and 915 is pretty good on a bad team. So he's a good goaltender. He could be your long-term solution at number one, and then if Rask wants to play and he comes around to February and he was ready to go and he wants to play, you could always sign him to a one-year prorated deal, and then you got Rask and Ullmark as your goalies going into the playoffs.
We're talking to Dan Rosen of NHL.com here on the Mark Madden Show. Dan, the flat cap didn't slow down the first day of free agency much, did it? It got a lot of guys given away, like the Furry deal, to open up cap space, but some guys signed monster deals.
Yeah, no, the flat cap impacts a lot of different things, but the big guys are going to get their big money. I think that's the key. I heard Kyle Dubas say that, Toronto Maple Leafs general manager, say that on, draft day. I think it was day two of the draft Saturday, when he said, the flat cap's going to have an impact on some other guys, but the big guys are going to get their money. And we've seen that. Like, I mean, no different. Dougie Hamilton, a 7-year, $63 million contract that's been reported right now. That's $9 million a year for Dougie Hamilton, who, to be honest, I don't think is a number one defenseman. I mean, he's getting paid like one, but he was insulated a lot there with Jacob Slavin in Carolina, and now he's going to have to be a number one defenseman with the New Jersey Devils. So the flat cap goes to a distance. You see contracts getting traded, like Brent Seabrook's contract, but he's not going to play, and guys getting phased out a little bit here and there, but the big guys get their money. Even guys like Philip Danault, who is a very versatile two-way centerman, he gets 5.5. Blake Coleman gets 4.9, I believe. So even the middle tier guys get the higher middle tier guys are getting their money too, because we have seen them in the past few years make that big of a difference come playoff time, and that's what teams are paying for.
Why is Buffalo apparently struggling to trade Jack Eichel, and where do you think he's going to wind up, Dan?
Well, I think two reasons. One, there's the medical aspect. He's got a neck injury. He's skating, but he wants to have surgery from everything we've heard, and the Sabres aren't sure about that. It's a surgery I believe no one has had before in the National Hockey League, so that throws a wrench into it if that's going to be the case. And number two could be asking price. I mean, the Sabres don't have to be in a rush to trade Eichel, especially if they don't think he's going to play for them anyway this season. Unless it's there, they're in no rush to move him until they get what their asking price is. What that is, I'm sure, includes a first rounder, a top prospect, and a player off a roster that's going to be an impact player. So I think at least you're going to have to look at that plus some more. I know the New York Rangers have been, you know, around the Jack Eichel talk. The Rangers have to decide, do they want to re-sign or sign Mika Zibanejad to a contract extension or go with Eichel? You're not going to be able to go with both. I think actually the Vegas Golden Knights are an interesting position. We've seen some rumblings about them, in the Eichel talks. You remember saving the cap space, they've spent it, but if Jack Eichel can't play this season, or if he has the surgery, maybe he can't play this season, and I'll use him as an adjective now, they could Kucherov him, and he goes on LTIR. They're good enough to make the playoffs without Jack Eichel. Maybe he comes back for the playoffs. I'm just throwing it out there because we've seen it happen before now, so it certainly is something I'm sure other teams are considering.
Edmonton has added a lot because I think they feel like they have something to prove to Connor McDavid, but did they add the right pieces?
Well, I like Zach Hyman. I like Zach Hyman a lot. I think he can do a lot of good things for that team. And the thing that I really like about Hyman, it's his grind game and his ability to go to the net and do all the things, but he has proven with the Toronto Maple Leafs that he can play with elite players, Austin Matthews, Mitchell Marner, you know, William Nylander. So they can throw him into a top six role on a line with either Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, and they could be, he'd be just fine. He'd fit in there as well. Tyson Barrie, you re-sign him 3 years, $4.5 million a per. I don't mind that at all. Tyson Barrie is, you know, he was a big piece of that top ranked penalty kill. You know, that I think that's big. They got Duncan Keith. They're trying to, you know, squeeze the last bit of juice out of Duncan Keith's legs there. So that's interesting as well. They re-signed Mike Smith, who was quality for them, and it's only 2.2. So you can live with that. You hope that Mike Smith can reprise what he's already done. So, I get what they're doing. And they also signed Cody Ceci. I don't like 4 years for Cody Ceci at all, but I get, you know, I don't mind the player. I don't like the term of 4 years for Cody Ceci. Yeah. They're harder to play against. So, well, we got to see it though. You know, I mean, that's the thing. We've seen the Oilers be good in the regular season and flop. So they're like the Toronto Maple Leafs. They got a lot to prove. They could do whatever they want. They got a lot to prove.
What team has had the best off season so far, Dan?
Well, that's a really good question. Now you're going to make me think. All right. You know what? I don't know. It's not done yet, so I don't know who's had the best offseason yet. I like what the Flyers have done with their D. I don't like the price that they've paid for Rasmus Ristolainen, but I like what they've done to revamp their defense. I think that's important. And I don't think Nolan Patrick had much of a future in Philadelphia, so I like that. I like the addition of Cam Ackerman. I like what Chuck Fletcher's done there with the Philadelphia Flyers. Have they had the best offseason? I'm not sure. I think that still remains to be seen. I think it also, I mean, their first offseason, but Seattle, I like the signing of Grubauer. It opened doors for them. They haven't done a lot. You know, they didn't make a lot of trades, but now let's see what they do here with, you know, the signing of Grubauer and maybe controlling a little bit of the goaltending market. And I particularly do like what Florida's done. I love the addition of Sam Reinhart for them and signing Sam Bennett, re-signing Anthony Duclair, re-signing Brandon Montour. It's interesting to me that Florida now is a place where players not want to go and re-sign when they're there, whereas in the past that was never the case. And I think, you know, they're building something nice there, and Spencer Knight could be a really good goalie of the future, Bobrovsky now, but I like what Florida's done. The addition there of Sam Bennett and the contract that they've given out to some of their own guys, I like.
Alex Ovechkin signed that new deal with Washington. He needs to average 33 goals per year to break Gretzky's record. What do you think? Is he going to do it?
He's got a shot. I mean, look, he certainly has a chance. Can he do it? Let's see how Alex Ovechkin is in 3 years. Let's see where he is, because he's still at the top of his goal scoring ability. There's no question about that. We know that he can score goals. I mean, he just scored 24 in 45 games. You bring that out, I mean, that's a 40 goal season, right? So he scored 48 in 68 games the year before that, 51 in 81 games the year before that. He could score 40 next season. He could score 40 the year after that. Can he continue to do it deep into his 30s? You know, he is what now, 35, it'll be 36. Can he do it when he's 38? Can he do it when he's 39? We could say 33 per season. If he's got to beef up a lot in the first two or three years of this contract to have a chance. So that's what I'm saying. Let's see where he is. If he gets into the 40 to 50 range this season and does it again next season, now we're talking.
I agree. I think if he can score 40 to 50 the next 2 years and get a cushion for the end of that contract.
Yeah, he needs a cushion.
I think he cruises in. But let's talk hypothetically, Dan, and it's so cliched, but if Mario Lemieux plays his whole career healthy, I think he might score 1,000 goals.
You might be right. you might be right. I mean, what, Mario Lemieux scored, what did he get, 600, almost 700 goals, right?
690, scored 690.
690 in 915 games. I mean, yeah, he probably, if he played another, and how many games did he lose to injury? How many games did he lose to lockouts? I Mario Lemieux, could he have played another 400, 500 games? You know, without everything that he had to go through? If I think the answer is yes, and if the answer is yes, then he probably could score another 300 goals, but 250, 300 goals, and he'd be approaching that 1,000 mark.
But I certainly don't begrudge Ovi. Definitely worthy of that number if he reaches it. Dan, great work at the.com, and thank you for joining us on such a busy day, and we'll talk again soon. Might even see you soon.
Yeah, you got it, man. Thanks a lot.
That's Dan Rosen of NHL.com, their senior writer. It's now time to Ask Mark Anything. 412-333-WXDX, Ask Mark Anything. Dialing that number, it really is magic when you Ask Mark Anything. 412-333-WXDX. Weekday edition.
And now the super genius, Mark Madden.
So, what's happening?
He's a little guy.
Huh? What? I'd love to get the balls to say what you want to say.
Very good point.
The X at 105.9.
Time to Ask Mark Anything, 412-333-WXDX. Some interesting players are still on the board for free agency. Brandon Saad from Pine Richland, ex of Colorado and Chicago. He's still out there. He was the sixth-ranked free agent, according to Frank Saravelli, before free agency started today at noon. Casey Cizikas. I can't believe the Islanders haven't re-signed him. Derek Brassard's out there. I think the Penguins will probably pass on him. Corey Perry's still out there. Corey Perry's a guy who could help the Penguins. Looks like all the goalies are gone, though. Eric Staal. What about Eric Staal? The best goalie left is Devan Dubnyk. I think he sucks, and I would rather have him than Jari. I just am never going to trust Jari until he wins a playoff series. Anyway, Ask Mark Anything brought to you by Fox Bet. Make the call and download the app today. Let's go to James in Tampa. James, Ask Mark Anything.
Hey, Mark, what's up, brother?
What up, man?
Hey, man, so here's what I'm thinking. I know originally it sounded like you didn't think it was a real big deal, and I didn't either at first, but now after hearing what Dan Rosen said, I'm starting to wonder if it's going to become more of a thing. What do you think about what the Lightning did with Kucherov and the salary cap in regards to the playoffs?
I had no problem with what they did with Kucherov because that was organic. He was on their team and he got hurt while in their service. But this trading for Brent Seabrook's contract to open up long-term injured reserve, that's gaming the cap, and I don't like it.
Okay, yeah, and I'm starting to like it a lot less, and I think if Kucherov comes back for the playoffs and he's a $10 million cap hit or whatever he is, that's over 10% of the salary cap. I think
you asked me about the Kucherov thing. I told you that was okay. Kucherov was on their team anyway, and he got hurt. They didn't game the system with that. They're gaming the system with Seabrook.
Yeah, but if they do that with
Eichel, you're right. They shouldn't have been allowed to do it with Kucherov. Thank you for the call, because you're just going to keep saying that they shouldn't have done it. So, okay, they shouldn't have. To be honest, the Seabrook thing, if it's not against the CBA, there's no reason they can't do it. But that's where the NHL should step in. Leaves the line open at 412-333-WXDX. Charles Barkley just said that unvaccinated people are a-holes. Can't say I disagree. Let's go to Eric in Toledo. Eric, you're on with Double M.
Hey, Mark, playing off what you said earlier about Bob Odenkirk being hospitalized, I was an enormous Breaking Bad fan. I think it's one of the best shows ever. I would almost argue Better Call Saul is better. What would you say to that?
Well, I think the two best shows ever are The Sopranos and Breaking Bad, and I can't decide which is better. I would probably give the nod to Breaking Bad because I think The Sopranos had a couple weak seasons, not the last one, but the two before the end, whereas I don't think Breaking Bad ever had a weak season. I think Better Call Saul is more subtle than Breaking Bad. I think there are elements where Breaking Bad beat you over the head with evil, whereas Better Call Saul kind of comes at you from a different angle. I still would give the edge to Breaking Bad, but I can see your argument. You tell me why you think it's better.
I love the writing in it. I think Bob Odenkirk in that role is so damn brilliant. I love the character development with him. There's just how much deeper he is in that show. I mean, it's obviously it's his show and it focuses on him. I love Rhea Seehorn, the lawyer, his female friend. I just think that show is, I don't know, there's something about it. And again, it's neck and neck. I could go either way. I don't know. I just wanted to get your thoughts.
I'll give you an example. There's certain stuff I wonder about in Better Call Saul that I did not wonder about. For example, with almost every character in Breaking Bad, you knew they were going to come to a good end. A bad end, because none of them had a redeeming quality. Whereas Rhea Seehorn's character, what's her name again in the series?
Kim Wexler.
I wonder what's going to happen to her, because she has compromised herself, but she does have redeeming qualities.
And she's not in Breaking Bad either. I'm wondering if she gets killed off in this final season.
I'm surprised she's not dead already.
I know. All right. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you. Let's go to Dan and McMurray. Dan, you're on with Double M.
Hey, Mark. If you could own any guitar in the world, what would it be and why?
Why would I want to own a guitar? I'll tell you what guitar I'd want to own. I'd want to own whatever one I could sell for the most money, because I have no use for guitar. Now, are you asking me which guitar, like a historic guitar, I would like to have as a souvenir and not to
absolutely
sell?
Absolutely. Yes.
That's easy. Jimmy Page's Sunburst that was notable in Led Zeppelin's The Song Remains the Same. Either that or the Telecaster he used early in Zeppelin's career, which he played Stairway to Heaven on. Or I would like to have one of Michael Schenker's black and white flying Vs for UFO.
What about the double neck?
The double neck, just like Stairway to Heaven, became kind of a cliche. I'd rather have the guitar Jimmy plays on Whole Lot of Love than the one he plays on Stairway to Heaven.
Great. Cool. Thank you.
Thank you for the call. Dusty Hill, RIP. ZZ Top Bassist, sad news. Back again tomorrow. Where was Crowley today? He no-showed. 105.9 The X.